Well, if you're here in person, why don't you stand with me for the reading of God's Word together, and encourage you when you can to bring a Bible, even a notebook. Studies show that just when we jot some things down or take some notes, we actually retain and remember things better when we do that. But there's also Bibles at the back that you can always use when you come in or to keep and just take with you or give to a friend or whatever it might be. But if you have a Bible with you, you can follow along in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Somewhat towards the end of the New Testament, and if you don't, you can just listen to God's wonderful word. So 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we're going to look mostly at verses 20 and 21, but I'm going to read 17 to 21, and it says this: "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up for themselves treasure as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed, and in doing so have departed from the faith. Grace be with you all." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Well, when you step back to think about it, I mean, the Bible is just really so cool. I mean, here is a book like Timothy where we get to read and sort of listen in on a conversation between the Apostle Paul and his young protege, Timothy, who is trying to navigate the difficulties of leading a church and all the different ideas and ideologies and problems that he encounters. And I mean, this is Paul, the man who saw the resurrected Christ on the road to Damascus, apparently spent time getting caught up into heaven, where he, quote, heard inexpressible things that no one is permitted to tell, 2 Corinthians 12. I mean, this man has authority and knowledge and experience. He's been chosen by God for this purpose. And we get to listen in on his advice, not only to Timothy, but to the church at large. It's really pretty cool. So we just open up your heart this morning for the next 20 or so minutes. Awaken your heart, your mind, your spirit, and say, God, I want to know your truth. And this part of the service, it's not a passive or spectator activity. Yes, I'm up here preaching because that's just my role in the body, and we all have a role in the body. But we all actively participate and engage with the Spirit of God together as the text is preached. So you are not an audience, you are the people of God. And so we say, amen, Lord, come and have your way. So let's get into it. I want to talk about two things from these couple of verses, focusing mostly on verses 19 and 20, and then make some application or action steps. So my title this morning is Turn Away and Take Hold. So let's begin with turn away in verses 20 and 21. So I'm starting kind of with the negative commandment first here, to turn away. Well, turn away from what? Well, verse 20 says, turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed, and in doing so have departed from the faith. So, whoa, this is pretty serious. Paul says people are departing from the faith. And the implication is without even knowing it or realizing that they are, because they've become distracted by godless chatter and false knowledge. People are spending more time, he says, on godless chatter and falsities than they are on the gospel, and it's causing many of them to depart from the faith. So this is, you know, so fascinating that Paul says this, because it shows that, you know, error being more appealing than truth is a problem that's 2,000 years old. And it's still a problem today. I mean, why does error or falsity seem to receive more attention and traction? People are more passionate about it than truth. A new study just came out this past week about Facebook that people are 6 times more likely to click on something that is misinformation than something that is factual. A 2018 study by 3 MIT scholars found that falsity spreads more rapidly than truth does by a substantial margin. They say, quote, "We found that falsehood diffuses significantly farther, faster, deeper, and more broadly than the truth in all categories of information." And so Christianity, no exception. And in many cases, by an order of magnitude, meaning the bigger the falsity, often the more traction it gets. They found that things that are true take about 6 times as long to reach people than things that are false. So from a Christian perspective, in a way, this should not surprise us. The MIT study would maybe say, well, people are just gullible or lazy or stupid. But spiritually speaking, we know this is a spiritual battle. That the lies of the enemy that distract and that deceive us are loud. And we need to be on guard. The enemy would love to distract us from staying focused on the gospel. And as Christians, you know, we understand sin, and therefore that as a human being, our sinful tendency is to privilege error over truth. Because the reality is godless chatter requires really nothing of us, whereas the truth, particularly of the gospel, asks for everything from us. And so human tendency is to privilege falsehood. It's just easier. Truth about morality, God and his world are really hard to come by. In fact, you'll find very little of it out in the world. You'll find mostly what verse 20 here calls opposing ideas. And if you don't turn from them, Paul says here, you will be in danger of being deceived and departing from the faith. So here's the question. What are you spending most of your time and particularly most of your talk or speech on? Paul says later in his second letter to Timothy, avoid godless chatter because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Paul makes the correlation that godless chatter actually causes us to become more ungodly, kind of like you are what you speak or what you choose to take in and ingest. And in our sin, we are somewhat hardwired to participate more in godless chatter than we are in godly chatter. And so we must fight this and ask, what am I spending my time talking about, thinking about? Things that lead to life or things that ultimately don't and are even ungodly? And so I think this has obviously been a major challenge over the last 18 months. And I feel like I've seen Paul's words here come to life, that people have become so distracted by godless chatter during the pandemic that sadly, I've watched many actually begin to depart from the faith. They've become so consumed by, you know, COVID chatter. And I'm talking about people on both sides, whether they're anti this or pro this or that. It's become what mostly consumes their thoughts and speech, which eventually affects their behavior, leading to anger or apathy or anxiety or impatience or harshness or all kinds of sinful or godless behavior. And it's people on both sides. I don't care what side you're on. That's not the point. People have become more passionate and knowledgeable about their position on COVID than living out the gospel. That's idolatry. What do you want to be an expert on? I mean, most of these things, including coronavirus, Lord willing, will come and go. What will last forever is the truth of God's gospel. And I'm afraid some Christians know more and have spent more time exploring theories or origins about the coronavirus than spending time before God exploring the origins of sin in our life and in our hearts and engaging his spirit in the work of wholeness and holiness. Many believers know more about Bonnie Henry than they do biblical hermeneutics. That's kind of a alliteration there. B-H-B-H. I just couldn't pass it up. But biblical hermeneutics is just a fancy way of saying how we interpret Scripture. We pay more attention to updates from the province than getting daily updates from the Word of God. We know or care more about COVID statistics and number of cases than statistics of number of people who have never heard the gospel or who will die today from starvation, lack of clean water, overdose, or simply just lack of love and care. We'd rather convert someone to our position or theories on COVID than to the Christian faith. That is misguided. And I'm not trying to pick on anyone. I'm just using this as an example because it's most relevant right now. But the truth is, there will always be something. There were things distracting us before COVID. There will be things distracting us from the gospel after COVID. It's not about COVID. It's about, are we keeping our focus mainly on the gospel or on godless chatter? Are you intentionally turning away from godless chatter, things that do not build up and bring life? And what this text teaches us is that this is a problem that is 2,000 years old. It's not a new problem created by COVID or social media. It has, of course, been multiplied, intensified by those things. But it's one thing to turn away. That's the negative command here. Don't do this. But it only matters so much as we actively do something else. We turn away to take hold. So point two, take hold. Verses 19 and 20, Paul says, in this way they, the generous, we'll get to that in a second, will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. And he says, Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. This is actually one of my favorite phrases in the Bible. Take hold of life that is truly life. This is an active stance. We're not running away from something, trying to avoid something. In some ways, that's easier to do, to avoid godless chatter and falsity. The challenge is more, will you then take hold actively of a life that is truly life, verse 19, and guard what has been entrusted to you, verse 20. And in the context of the entire letter, we know that this thing entrusted to our care refers to the gospel. It's Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and all that means and all that entails for our world and for our lives. Paul says in 2 Timothy 1:14, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us, he says. So friends, those of you who have put your trust in Jesus, invited him to be the Lord of your life, you have been entrusted with the greatest treasure in the world, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. And I know it sounds too amazing, and I know we feel too unworthy. Paul describes it in 2 Corinthians 4:7 as that we are these fragile jars of clay, and we have this immense treasure inside of us, the gospel. And that should humble us, but also wake us up to the great responsibility of what it means to take hold of and guard this truth that has been entrusted to us. Are you guarding, with the help of the Holy Spirit, the gospel entrusted to your care? Or is it being crowded out by godless chatter and falsity and distractions? If God has revealed himself to you in Christ and by his grace you have accepted him, that means he trusts you with this great treasure. He has chosen to trust you. Which is why we have to proactively choose to take hold of this life that is truly life, to guard the truth in your heart by filling yourself with more of it through his word, through prayer, through relationship with others, and being in Christian community and people who will speak truth and life and encourage you to live by the truth. The influence of the gospel in your life has to be stronger than godless chatter surrounding us if we're going to avoid departing by the faith. That's what Paul says here. So what are some ways we can do this, that we can turn away and take holds? Let me close with some application or action steps. How to turn away and take holds. So number one, I'm just going to call it play the percentages. So go back to 2 Timothy 2:16, where he says, avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. If we're daily ingesting the messages and the ways of the world, we will undoubtedly just become more worldly. On the other hand, if we are daily exposing ourselves to Scripture, the truth of the gospel through God's words, spending time with the Lord, listening to worship music, being in Christian community, serving others in love, we will become more godly through the help of the Holy Spirit. What percentage of your thoughts, words, and actions are from God's words? And what are from, you know, news and politics and whatever? What are you starting your day with? Is it social media, your news app, turning on the weather channel? Or is it the Word of God? And listen, I'm no wonderful example of a Christian life. I'm a fellow struggler who needs help from you to stay on the narrow path. There was just a beautiful kind of time of humility and almost confession in our pre-service prayer this morning among all the leaders. Basically, the summary is, none of us feel worthy to do anything that we're doing this morning, to stand up here, to lead in music, to preach the word. We are fellow strugglers on the journey. And I'm tempted, like the rest of us, to read and engage in godless chatter more than the truth of the gospel. And to be honest, I don't know how people do it who don't gather regularly in Christian community, because I do a lot of it, and I still really, really struggle. Like, imagine where I'd be without the encouragement of Christian community. And opening up my favorite, you know, sports app or news app or social media or binging on a TV show is just so much easier to me than sometimes opening my Bible or opening up my heart to explore what's really taking place inside. So I struggle. But one thing I've consistently done is to have my own little rule that there's no phone, there's no media or anything until I've done my daily Bible reading in the morning. Because I want the first thing I do in a day to be to take hold of life and guard the truth before I have to battle so much else that is coming my way in a day through emails and news and social media and whatever it is, all the godless chatter that I know will be surrounding me the rest of the day. So we want to make sure we're sowing more to the Spirit than to the flesh, Galatians 6:8. That's kind of playing the percentages, so to speak. What are we filling ourselves with more of? But then also, we need to sometimes, number two, just completely purge the pollutants. Part of turning away is that sometimes we just need to purge these things, the things that come and pollute the purity of the gospel. We just need to get rid of them. Some people, you know, fast food. They go on a cleanse or a juice fast or whatever to kind of cleanse their body. Well, sometimes we need to cleanse our minds and our spirits by fasting maybe social media or maybe other places where godless chatter abounds. So take a break from that news blog you read every day or your social media or your regular programs or TV shows that you watch. You know, take a week, take a month, see what happens in your spirits. As one translation of verse 20 says, you know, turn a deaf ear to empty and worldly chatter. Another pollutant which is mentioned here in this text is money and materialism. In the verses preceding it, in verses 19 through 21, Paul warns not to put your hope in wealth, which is uncertain, but instead put your hope in God, who is certain. And money can deceive us and pollute our faith. It can cloud our vision, taking care of our own kingdom rather than God's kingdom. So do a purge. Give away a bunch of money, a bunch of possessions. I mean, it's wonderful. It will cause you to take hold of life that is truly life. You got a couple $1,000s sitting in the bank that you don't really have a plan for? Honestly, give it away. It will feel really good. It'll be challenging, but it'll feel really good, and God will honor it, and you will begin to cling closer to him. Last application, move from the sidelines to serving. Paul says in verse 18, do good. Be rich, not in money, but in good deeds. Be generous and willing to share. And this involves your time, your money, your talents. Be generous. Share. Do something. The Bible actually talks quite a bit about what our text is about this morning. It talks quite a bit about godless chatter, idle talk, gossip, unhealthy debates and arguments, meaningless talk. These are all quotes from the Bible. And you know what often much of it is related to or correlated to? Idleness. Too much time. Standing on the sidelines, complaining, grumbling, commenting on social media, writing whiny letters to the editor in the paper, not actually being out there doing something. I mean, when you're involved in the mess and complexity and difficulty of helping people and people's lives, some of these debates and chatter about issues, they don't really matter as much. Because you realize the needs of human beings are far more important and urgent. And serving others gets us out of our own bubble, our own ideas, and it begins to bring us life. I love the story in our church of a few of our teens who volunteered to help out the first day of VBS, just the one day. And then Thomas said they came back the other 3 days as well and ended up serving all four. Why did they do that? Because they had fun. It brought them life. They realize this is a lot better than just being on my computer or texting people all day, right? It brings us life. It's not easy, but it brings us life to serve. Serving others pulls us outside of our heads, our cycle of meaningless talk and chatter, into real situations with other people where we realize things aren't always so black and white when we're dealing with the reality of real human beings. Find a way to serve others. I mean, as we fully relaunch here as a church, there are more and more opportunities to serve. Greeters, kids programs especially need a lot of greeters. There's our breakfast program for kids starting back up, prayer groups. On October 3rd, we're going to need a lot of people to help serve our community, maybe just work in a popcorn stand or the coffee station, whatever, and we'll have sign up next week or online soon. So if you're going to turn away and take holds, these three things will help. Monitor your percentage of time you're spending taking in godless chatter or meaningless talk. Intentionally purge things that pollute the truth of the gospel in your life. And get off the sidelines of chatter and jump into serving your fellow brother and sister around you. And it just all comes down to what will matter in eternity. Paul says, those being rich in good deeds, verse 19, will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age. So stop and ask, how will this matter in eternity or make a difference in eternity? So turn away from things that don't matter, that don't bring life, and instead take hold of the beauty of the gospel, a life that is truly life, the life that God intends for us. And so as Theo comes up, let's just take some time to pray, to listen to the Lord. We don't want to just hear the word and then just go. We want to have a chance to respond to it. So I'm going to invite you to just close your eyes. Let this be a prayerful moment here in the sanctuary. And I'm going to ask if you're comfortable right now to actually open your hands in front of you. Nobody's looking around. We're all kind of in a prayerful moment. And this is kind of a passive stance. Sometimes we do this as a way of receiving, but at this point I'm doing it as a symbol of letting go. This is the first part of the message. So our hands are open as a sign to the Lord that there might be some things we need to let go of. So I'm asking you to ask the Lord, what do you need to turn away from, to let go of? What false ideas or godless chatter are consuming your life that don't need to be there? What are you filling yourself with? What is it doing to you? Sometimes just it's good to take an account or do an inventory of our time and our days before the Lord and just interact and converse with Him. Lord, what do you want me to be doing? Is your day mostly about putting your hope in uncertain things that will not last? Verse 17. Does it participate in godless chatter? Verse 20. Or are your days rich in good deeds? Reflect the generosity of your time and your gifts and your finances, things that will last for eternity. Just take that inventory of your days. And you may need to do more of this work at home, but then also ask, what's one pollutant God is asking you to purge? How are you beginning and ending your days? I think the bookends of our days tell us a lot. What messages are you mainly hearing? The temptation toward godless chatter and pursuing lies and falsity, they change with age and in life seasons. I don't know what yours is today. It could be chasing success or notoriety or money or the perfect family or comfortable retirement or pleasure. Whatever it is, would you make a decision today to turn from that and instead take hold of life that is truly life, which is life lived before God? And so just in faith this morning, I know you might need more time eventually, but just decide to kind of let those things go. That's why our hands are open. We're just saying, God, I'm letting this go. So in faith, just imagine them fleeing from your hands. Say, God, I'm choosing to let go. I'm loosening the grip I have on these things or the grip they have on me. And then so now I want you to close your hands. And this is a sign of taking hold. This is active rather than passive. First, you know, we got to be willing to let go before we can take hold. But now we want to take hold. And so ask the Lord the question, what do I need to take hold of more? And maybe it's more of God's word. Maybe it's more prayer, more serving others. What will lead to life that is truly life? And so I encourage you, just listen to the spirits. I love how the Holy Spirit works with us gently but boldly. And what he normally does is just give us one thing. God's realistic. He knows how weak we are. He doesn't give us a list of 25 things to do. We do that to ourselves, but God doesn't do it to us. He'll normally give you one, maybe two things that'll drop in your hearts. And then he'll reveal more if you're willing to listen as you go on. But just search the Lord's heart for, Lord, what's one thing I need to take hold of, or if you're still in the let go part. And more than anything, just say in faith in your heart, Lord, I want to take hold of the gospel and its truth. There's nothing like this treasure of knowing the truth of the gospel. And if you've never heard it, it's simply this. There is a God who created you and loves you, so much so that even though we have rebelled against him and lived contrary to his ways, he wanted to show us how much he still loved us by sending his own son to die on the cross as punishment for all of our wrongdoing and sin, so that we could stand before him made right, so that when he sees us, he no longer sees our sin and all we've done wrong. He doesn't see all of our godless chatter and unworthy pursuits of things that don't matter, but instead he sees us perfectly through Jesus and the perfect life he lived in our place. Because although we waver in our efforts to live a life rich in good deeds and free from falsity, he lived that life perfectly without wavering. And therefore, our life is just one big response to that life that he lived. And so we put all our hope and faith not in our own lives and works, but in His life and in His work. And so we let go of our lives and we take hold of His life. We embrace His work. And so you might just want to now take your hands that are closed and bring them to your heart and say, Lord, I'm receiving your life that is truly life. I am taking hold of it. I know that you're not worthy. I'm not either. But God will work with a humble heart. And when you embrace His life, man, He will begin to pour it out. And so, Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit would come and seal the things that are being done and continue that work after this portion of time, throughout the week, throughout our days, Lord. We don't want to go and then become distracted back into godless chatter. We want to take hold of life that is truly life. You can open your eyes back up, and Paul closes 1 Timothy here with these words, "Grace be with you all." And grace is just undeserved favor upon undeserving people. And that's us. That's me. That's you. And we need to revel in it. We're all in need of grace, myself included. And so may grace be with you this week as you turn from worldliness and as you take hold of life that is truly life by the power of His Spirit. Amen. Amen.